Holy Scripture just proclaimed this morning turn into beautiful melodies in each of your hearts.
I am so glad that the Holy Spirit, if I may so presume, has led me to want to preach on Psalm 23 rather than the Gospel. Anyway.
Psalm 23.
You've all, I'm sure, gone to the ocean. And, you know, when you go into the ocean, you go into the water, and the waves come, and the waves roll over you, and roll over you, and roll over you one at a time. And hopefully it's not too rough. And it's kind of like a massage. And each time it rolls over you, you can just feel your stress from your work or whatever leaving you. And it's like the massage, just working its way into you, going deeper and deeper, calming you, exhaling the stress. Psalms of the Psalter are like that. They are like a spiritual massage. They are like, they've been called the psalm balm. When you read the Psalms, they kind of cover all the moods that we human beings go through, from exaltation to depression, to thanksgiving, to anger and vengeance, and everything in between. Psalms are all cover all those things. And as we read the Psalms, somehow we read them, and it's like a spiritual massage, and we get all those feelings and thoughts out in the presence of God, and it's just so freeing and so comforting. And when you read, say, any psalm, but particularly the Psalm 23 is an easy, kind of an easy one because it's kind of short. It's only six verses long. So it's kind of short. And it lends itself to being memorized. And I've made many a visit, hospital visit or communion visit stuff to people, particularly old timers. Unfortunately, younger generation may be losing some of this. And I'll say to them, you know, what psalm would you like? What would you from Scripture would you like to recite with me before you receive communion? And almost always, Psalm 23. And they know it in the great classic translation of the King James Version of the Bible. And it's really wonderful to listen to them. And I can just see, like the waves, all those conflicting feelings that people have when they're sick, and the bad ones kind of going out, and the good ones coming in. Anyway, biblical scholars talk about biblical parallelism. Take a look at the psalm if you have it on page 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The first line, the Lord is my shepherd, is kind of more or less repeated by the second line, I shall not be in want. The two lines parallel each other. If the Lord truly is your shepherd, think about it for a minute. If the Lord truly is your shepherd, if the Lord is truly my shepherd, we won't be in want. We will feel protected. The shepherd is there. So really line one is simply being repeated in other words by line two. But it's not a simple repetition. It's kind of like a deeper insight. The second line is like a deeper insight into the first line. Kind of like a massage. As you are being massaged, the power of it penetrates deeper and deeper each time if it's done well. Deeper and deeper. We begin to understand the first line deeper the second time. I shall not be in want. Same thing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Kind of more or less sounds like the same thing. But he leads me beside still waters. Kind of says the same thing as the line before it, but in a different kind of way and adds a kind of little nuance there. Still waters. Calming waters. And you can read it like that as you go on. That's part of the genius of the Psalms. They are like this massage. Each line kind of being repeated, but going deeper and deeper and deeper. And then this particular psalm, you'll notice, has a kind of transition. The transition biblical scholars talk about is verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We go here to a change in pronouns. Instead of talking about the Lord, now we talk about you. The language is becoming more intimate. Now we're kind of like on a you, me, I, thou basis. It's like the shift from an impersonal pronoun, what we call in English grammar the third person, him, it, her, they, to the first person, we, I, and the intimate you. That's kind of how prayer is. Prayer is a taking us into deeper and deeper, into a deeper and deeper relationship with the Lord. As we are in prayer, as we bring our lives, our emotions, our feelings, whatever they might be, to the Lord, as we grow in that trusting relationship with the Lord, we become more intimate with the Lord. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And when we are intimate with someone, like the massage again, getting deeper and deeper, more intimate. As that happens, we become more trusting of the Lord. And so then we're not afraid to share our dirty laundry. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. True prayer, if it's going to be real, has to be honest. We have our fears, the shadow of death. Those things that really scare us, that we have a hard time dealing with. And we're going to, you know, in our lives are real, and we're going to deal with those things. We're going to come in, slide into those things. It's natural that everything is not peachy creamy. That's not real. And so if we really trust the Lord, we're not afraid to face our dirty laundry. Because we know the Lord is going to comfort us through this dirty laundry. The Lord is going to be there with us in that dirty laundry. So a four is a kind of transition. It's a transition from the impersonal pronoun to the more personal pronouns, and it goes on, you know, you spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You spread a table before me. This is the table here. You feed me, you take care of me, you nourish me. The Eucharist is like that as well. but it's not the only place that the nourishing that takes place and so on. You have anointed my head with oil and my cup is running over. You know, one of the things sheep herders do sometimes with their sheep, when the sheep have scratches and wounds, the sheep herder will anoint the sheep with a salve, an ointment. And the one thought I want to leave you with is, this is my last point now. It says here, surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sheep herders, as they deal with their sheep, they usually have sheepdogs. And the sheepdogs usually follow the sheep, guide the sheep and move the sheep forward. So just think of this goodness and mercy as two sheepdogs. Behind you, behind me. And as we're dealing with our issues, and nowadays, you know, in the United States, we have lots of issues. The shadow of the valley of death and so on. We have lots of issues. Personal, social, political, and everything else. So as we are dealing with all of that, and in the midst of all of that, you might want to take out this psalm and prayerfully let it do its spiritual massage on you, a psalm balm, and think about those two dogs behind you, leading you, guiding you. The two dogs, goodness and mercy.